Welcome to the Fantasy Finessers Podcast. I'm Eddie Wasserman. Thank you guys for joining us. I'm joined here as always by Colin Kapoor. Colin, how are you today?
Doing good, man. Doing good. How are you?
Good. Well, we have a fresh look, some new intro music you might have heard. And Colin, we taped an entire episode yesterday. If you're wondering why we're here on a Wednesday, we did an entire episode and then the whole thing got deleted.
Yeah, so, you know, we've been battling production issues over the past couple of weeks, but we're not going to let it get to us. We had a whole waiver segment about, we had news and notes, we had fan questions. We'll get to the fan questions later on in this episode again. But, you know, we're just going to have to run it back on Wednesday, but we're not going to talk too much waivers today because waivers for most leagues already ran. We'll briefly get into the winners and losers, then focus on week 13.
Yeah, so I think the first thing we have to get into on this week's episode is the injuries because, you know, it's at this point, the season week 13, we're getting deep, almost playoff time, just 2 weeks away. But the biggest storyline right now is the injuries, especially the running back position. The first one we have to start with, Christian McCaffrey, now out for the season. And this is a huge loss. We mentioned that he was so good once Newton came back. Once he'd been back and Newton had been back, he was catching all these balls. He'd been great. Now he's out for the year. Crushing news.
Yeah, I mean, it's just tough for fantasy managers drafting McCaffrey, often top overall the past 2 years, and then he misses the majority of the games he plays. He was out for five straight weeks, or maybe six. Yeah, five straight weeks this season, comes back for three good games, and then he's out on IR, out for the season with, he's in a walking boot, it's an ankle sprain, I believe. And so, you know what, it's tough. The Panthers offense is just bad now, dreadful. They're going to their bye, but I mean, once they get back, I mean, DJ Moore is the only person you're starting, just with a little bit of apprehension.
Yeah, I mean, I think that this entire team just had a miserable game. We can get to Cam Newton a little later. He was dreadful as well. And I think with this McCaffrey injury now, the Panthers into a tailspin. They get wrecked by the Dolphins. That's a big injury, but I think we need to mention that. The next one, DeAndre Swift. Now, I want to talk about Swift and what it means for the Lions going forward. So Swift now is out for this week for sure. He has the shoulder injury. And I think that what this is going to mean for the team going forward is really interesting. I would just like to take a little credit, Jamal Williams. I called it a bit. I told you guys a couple weeks ago, pick up Jamal Williams on waivers, a key next man up candidate. And now he's going to get a chance to show that off this week. And it looks like Jeremy Fowler of ESPN reporting today on Wednesday as we're recording this that Swift is primed to likely miss multiple weeks with a shoulder injury. And I have to wonder, Colin, going forward with Swift, we mentioned how his workload had really ramped up over the last couple weeks. With the Lions being this far out of contention, when Swift does come back, what incentive do they have to keep running him into the ground like they have previously?
Well, I mean, they really don't have any incentive. I mean, the only thing would be, you know, we gotta win games. I don't think the Lions are anywhere near where they wanted to be this season. I still don't think they have a win. What are they, 0-10-1 or something? So with Swift, you know, the expectation is that they're going to manage him going through this injury and not try to force him back. It's an AC joint injury. And if you watch the Thanksgiving game, it looked pretty rough. He was in a lot of pain. So Jamal Williams is a serviceable back. He is definitely, you know, among the top backups in the league, like you were talking about a couple weeks ago. And he's handled double-digit carries in, let's see, five games this season. So he can handle a workload. We saw in Green Bay when Aaron Jones, sometimes he had a couple of injury scares, but Jamal Williams was on that team. And Williams is an admirable fill-in back. So waivers have, in all likelihood, already run in your league, but he's someone that
Williams probably in RB2 this week. He dominated the second quarter on when Swift went out. He dominated the snaps, logging 14 pass snaps, 11 rush snaps, just dominating relative to the other running back options you have, like Godwin Iwabuki, Jamar Jefferson. I mean, it gets pretty slim in that offense. So I think that that's someone who you look for in the Swift injury. Again, it doesn't look like it's going to be season ending. You're going to get him back. But I just wonder, with the workload that he was handling over the last couple weeks that we talked about, whether that needs to be cut back. Because, I mean, there was a week he played over 90% of the snaps, right? So I don't think you want it to be that high. Ideally, it sits somewhere in the 70 to 75% range.
Yeah, you're still holding on to Swift if you have him.
Of course.
You know, maybe for the last-minute fantasy playoff run if he does end up coming back in weeks 14 or 15. But with Jamal Williams in this matchup against Minnesota, who ranks, I'm pretty sure, dead last in run-stop percentage, I feel like Williams getting maybe 15 to 20 carries in this game is a slam-dunk play, especially with also Williams's he's great at catching passes out of the backfield. Five catches on five targets in the game against Chicago, only for 18 yards. But he's a bruiser, but he also, you know, he can catch pass out of the backfield. So I think, you know, RB2 level for Jamal Williams definitely against Minnesota.
Yeah, and the last key running back injury is Dalvin Cook. So Cook has been had a really rough year. I mean, I wouldn't say bust per se. He's RB18 on the year, but it has not been great. And it just gets worse here, as now he's likely to miss the next 2 weeks with an injury. He dislocated his left shoulder against San Francisco. And you look at Cook right now, he's going to miss the next two games. So in theory, you know, you miss week 13, 14, should be back for the postseason, fantasy postseason, starting week 15 against Chicago. But it's starting to get really worrying, especially now that Madison's going to retake over as the top back. And he had that touchdown he scored this week. So all of a sudden, Dalvin Cook, you get really worried about.
I mean, you say Dalvin Cook is the RB18. I think that's absolutely a bust. I mean, he was injured, but he was drafted in the top three in fantasy drafts. There's no reason for him. Even, you know, he did miss two games with injuries, but even in the games he played, there was a game where he had 7.8 points. He had games just over 10 points and a game with 6.4 points. So, you know, he's not exceeding expectations by any stretch of the imagination. And I don't know, Alexander Madison and his spot starts both times got more fantasy points than Dalvin Cook has got the entire season.
We had this discussion where Madison got, in the two starts that Madison got when Cook was out, he had 25 and 26 carries in those two games.
Yeah, and if you're a Dalvin Cook owner who doesn't have Alexander Madison, you're doing something wrong. You just are. If you don't have Madison right now and you're a Dalvin Cook owner, that's just, it's brutal, honestly. But, you know, most Cook owners should have Alexander Madison rostered on their fantasy teams. Especially considering one Cook's injury
and
history,
and of course he's a must start.
Exactly, he's top. I think he's top five against Detroit, and then he's got Pittsburgh, who just got ran all over by Joe Mixon. So Madison in the next 2 weeks, where it is sure Cook will be out, is a surefire top five back. And I honestly think this Vikings season is going pretty poorly for them. I think they still think themselves as playoff contenders, especially with the next two pretty easy matchups coming up. So they're probably going to try to get Cook back, but I don't know. I would prefer to start Madison without Cook than start Cook with Madison on the field right now.
Yeah, so I think that we should now shift to some of the losers for this week. And honestly, there's been some pretty disappointing performances here over the last couple weeks. I have to say, the crowd, we hear them right now, they're not very happy with the performances of these rookie receivers, Jamar Chase, Kyle Pitts. They have been really disappointing over the last couple weeks.
Yeah, Jamar Chase comes in, you know, we saw in week 8 he had that 200-yard game, but then since then he hasn't been great. He puts up only 3 catches for, I think, 30 yards or something in this game, and that's just not what you want to see. T. Higgins comes in with 100 yards and a touchdown, so Jamar Chase, you're probably a little worried about him, especially because, I mean, the big reason here is it's clearly Joe Mixon. Joe Mixon is averaging, you know, 30-plus touches a game, and Joe Burrow's not having to throw as much as he did in the beginning of the season where Jamar Chase was coming in as the premier rookie. Joe Mixon comes in this game against Pittsburgh, 32 fantasy points, has 28 carries for 165 yards and 2 touchdowns. You know, even if this was a blowout against Pittsburgh, you don't need Jamar Chase to do that much. But I don't know. It seems like Joe Mixon is starting to take over this team. He's the number 3 running back in standard and PPR. So there's less, you know, you don't expect to need as much from a player like Jamar Chase because Joe Mixon has been so good.
Well, I think the thing with Chase is it's like you wonder if there's this rookie wall kind of thing. And over the last couple of weeks, he just has not had the same level of production in a way that gets a little concerning. I mean, the 6.9 this week is not a good number. It's just not. Now, he has 3 targets in this game, and that's the part that, to me, that rings the alarm bells a little bit more. And after he was so good over that early stretch of the season when he had that 34-point performance against Baltimore, where he had, I think, 200 receiving yards, and it was rookie of the year shoe-in, and this guy's amazing, and whatever. Since then, he's had 13 or less in each of his next 4 games. So at this point, you do worry a little bit. Now, he had 13 targets against Cleveland in Week 9, but having just 3 targets against Pittsburgh, definitely a cause for concern, and I think that you're still starting Chase for sure, and you mentioned game script in this game, definitely important. But going forward, a little bit concerning. Kyle Pitts, on the other hand, is the one that is really, really concerning, and through probably not much fault of his own. This offense has been dreadful. They've been 30th in points per drive since Calvin Ridley went out officially in Week 8. Not been a good team, and Kyle Pitts since that time in Week 8 is tight end 26.
Yeah, Kyle Pitts, him and Cordarrelle Patterson are the only people on the offense. All opposed defensive coordinators know this, and they're going to do what they can to contain them. Kyle Pitts, after that two-week stretch against the Jets and the Dolphins where he had 26 fantasy points and 23 fantasy points, he hasn't really been doing much. He's flashed big play potential in weeks 9 and 10 where he had 3 catches for 62 yards and 4 catches for 60 yards. But, I mean, in week 11 against New England, I don't know if it was a reasonable – least certain expectation that was weird wordplay there, but 3 catches for 29 yards, like you expect Bill Belichick to take away Kyle Pitts. That's just what he does on his defense. And then against Jacksonville, that's six targets, 2 catches, 26 yards. Against Tampa, you know what? I don't know if you can trust him. There's probably, you know, maybe Logan Thomas who's still on waivers or just coming back for the Washington football team. I'll probably rather start him than Kyle Pitts right now.
Yeah, I feel like right now, can you bench Pitts? I mean, it's almost like it's like hard to kind of get there because of how productive he was early in the season and like I was feeling great about him and you really felt great. But when you have 4 single-digit performances over the last 5 weeks and even that other one, I mean, he put up 10 exactly, so 10 or less in his last 5 games. That's not going to cut it from the tight end position.
Yeah, honestly, from the tight end position, I feel like if you're getting 8-plus points, like, it's okay. Tight end is a wasteland. This is a get right game against a Tampa Bay pass defense that is not good, and it should be, you know, Tampa Bay was probably going to contain the running game. That is their strength. I think Vita Vea is probably going to be back if he wasn't already back in this game against the Colts. So I think this is probably a get right game for Kyle Pitts. But you know, we've seen the Falcons offense just get outclassed by defenses. I think of the Cowboys and you think of other defenses where the Falcons have just gotten, you know, completely demolished by. So I think it's a risky one, but I think it might be a get right game.
Yeah, so now I want to talk about one of the winners of the week, the Miami Dolphins.
Yeah, crowd is helping us out. Yeah. They like the Miami Dolphins.
The Dolphins had an incredible week. So we talked about the Panthers really losing things this week. On the flip side, though, the Miami Dolphins, a huge performance from them. They absolutely dominated this game. Waddle was awesome, and Myles Gaskin, a bounce-back performance. So really, a great week all in all for them.
Yeah, Jalen Waddle comes in, the number one wide receiver on the week, and he has 9 catches for 137 yards and a touchdown. He has 49.3 fantasy points over his past 2 games, and I mean, a middle-of-the-pack Giants pass defense coming up in Week 13, he should be great. Once again, he does occasionally mix in some rushing attempts, none in this game, but he had a rushing touchdown a couple weeks ago. And in all but one game this season, Jalen Waddle has received 6 or more targets in Weeks 15 through 17. Waddle faces off against the Jets, Saints, Titans, all pass defenses that are allowing 35-plus fantasy points per game to wide receivers. Even coming off a huge week, I want to buy Jalen Waddle. I want him on my fantasy team going to the fantasy playoffs.
Waddle's been great. And I think the thing with Waddle that's great is, like, Waddle has had this ability over the course of the season. You know, we know he has the 4.3 speed, and that was what he was marketed as coming in. But I think what they've done over the last few weeks is they've really figured out how to utilize that speed a little bit better, because Jalen Waddle is a guy who is not someone that thrives best when you just bomb the ball down the field and you're not just running go ball routes with him. He uses that 4.3 speed when you're able to use short passes to him and get him out in space. And I think that they've been able to really utilize that and capitalize on it better. And that's where you get that, you know, the incredible performance that he had again this week. And he was able to, you know, 10 targets. He's had his target share has gone up big time over the last few weeks. And it's gotten to the point where it's consistent enough where I feel comfortable categorizing him as a must-start player. And he's wide receiver 10 on the year. It's been a hugely productive last few weeks for him. He puts up 20 in his last 2 games, double digits in his last 4. Again, it's the consistency from him. Once they've started to utilize him this way in the offense, where you're not relying on him for a big play, because that's not how they're trying to facilitate him and get him his plays, I think that contributes to him being better in real life and also fantasy.
Yeah, and the thing with Jalen Waddle was, like, there's always someone coming back from injury, be it Devontae Parker or Will Fuller.
And maybe
but
Parker
now,
will...
But now those guys, they're not really part of the equation anymore, especially right. Fuller. Devontae Parker, you know, let me check his status. I'm not 100% sure what's going on with him. He might come back.
Let's I think see. Parker's supposed to come back.
He's set to return to practice, but I think Waddle has cemented himself in this offense. I don't think there's an issue with him. So I guess the Giants, I would start him. And, you know, maybe if Devontae Parker coming back you know, maybe cuts into the target share a little bit. Maybe try to trade for Waddle after this game, especially going into the bye week. You might be able to have a little lower value. And the next guy on this Dolphins
Gaskin.
Team is Myles Gaskin. I mean, if you know anything about fantasy football, you know Myles Gaskin is the most frustrating player. one of the most frustrating players this entire year. He is He's been alternating even in odd weeks, but this week he finally breaks the mold. In an even week, he comes in and is the RB12. He had been alternating from RB9, or actually RB2 in week 5 odd week, then 47 in an even week, then 9 in an odd week, then 35 in an even week, then 8, 42, then 10. And you're expecting, okay, Gaskin is about to not do anything this week. He comes in the RB12, not efficient by any stretch of the imagination.
He hasn't been efficient all year.
He had a long run of 8 yards in this game, but the touchdowns are what matters here. He ceded 12 carries to Philip Lindsay, but Lindsay was bad. I think Gaskin is a middle, maybe higher tier RB2 in a match against the Giants. Their run defense gives up the 5th most yards per attempt at 4.6, and also 127.7.
I mean, Lindsay, the other thing is Lindsay got most of those carries in garbage time.
Yeah.
So I don't really view that as much of a concern. And overall, I think that Miami's a sneaky good team. Like, they can make a little noise going forward in the postseason. And I think in general, this is a team that has a chance to do a bunch of damage going forward. So I'm looking forward to seeing what they can do this week. I think it might be time, though, to get to our first mailbag question of the week.
Yeah, we asked around. You know, we got a couple of good questions coming in. And, you know, our first question here, we're going to get the drum roll going. That's some good questions coming in. The first one, I'll throw it over to you, Maddie. Devontae Freeman or Mike Williams at the flex?
So I think this is a good question because there's an obvious answer to Devontae Freeman. Let's start out with that. But I think it's a good question because I want to talk about Mike Williams. And I think Mike Williams right now, he's a name kind of because he was good at the beginning of the season and people were talking about him as this top guy. Mike Williams is not a startable fantasy player at this point of the year. I mean, his performance has just been dreadful lately in a way that's almost shocking when you look at it, because when you watch a team play, you know, he gets targeted a fair amount and he looks okay, but another single digit performance this week. And it's at the point where I'm like, 8 targets this week, 4 receptions, 39 yards. That's a single digit performance. And aside from that one, he had that one big play against Pittsburgh to vault him up to 20 points in week 11. Outside of that performance, it's been single digits in his last 6 games. So at this point, I don't think I feel comfortable starting Williams.
Yeah, it is a shootout style matchup against Cincinnati, where, you know, Cincinnati just put up, I think, 30 plus points against the Steelers. Freeman is the safer pick. I think there's no question about that, especially given the fact that he is a running back getting 17 plus touches with regularity. But he is not the featured runner on his team. Lamar Jackson is the featured runner on his team. And we can get into, you know, the struggles of the Ravens in just a bit if we want to. So I think Mike Williams is an upside play, especially considering the shootout nature of this matchup. But if you want a safer play, I think Freeman is the clear option. And from the flex spot, if you have the opportunity to, you know, put in a starting running back, I think that's probably a good play. And Mike Williams, you know, you talk after that 36-point week in week 5, he has just been horrible, you know, 4.7 points and then, you know, under 10 points for the rest of the way, excluding that game against Pittsburgh. So I think if you want the upside play, perhaps Mike Williams gets it going. But we thought he was going to be the top wide receiver to play to Keenan Allen, and now Keenan Allen's back in the driver's seat in this Chargers offense.
Yeah, I think that Freeman is a consistent player enough. He's not good. Is he going to be great? No, he gets 7 points this week. And again, that's not great. But I think what's interesting to me is, right, in Chicago, Freeman puts up 6 receptions. And I think that's what he has to do in order to provide a little bit more upside. Freeman has, you know, the 7 points. He's got 16 carries in each of his last 2 games. Of course, not overly efficient. And you mentioned the thing is Lamar is running a huge amount. He gets, like, what did Lamar have? Double-digit carries in this game.
Yeah, I think he had 16, 17
and
carries.
And that's really one of the reasons why none of these running backs really producing anything. I mean, the Murray and Freeman combo produced a combined total of 8.4 points. So it's not like they're really getting that much value. But I think Mike Williams has really, it's more like an indictment on Mike Williams that he's been that bad that I can't trust in a play over someone that's a kind of low-ish floor, low-ceiling player in Freeman.
Yeah, I think Freeman has the higher chance of getting, you know, maybe double-digit points. And Mike Williams, obviously, we've seen the past month or so at this point, hasn't really hit that. But he does have the higher upside, I think, in this game, especially considering, you know, Herbert has dialed up a couple of deep shots to him. They haven't connected. But, I would prefer to probably play it safe with Devontae Freeman. But if you're in a matchup where it's, one, a must-win against a team that has a lot more points than you do, you know, going back throughout the entire fantasy season, maybe Mike Williams is the play.
Yeah, so I want to talk about now something that shifts forward, I think, that we can talk about last week, but also shifts forward as we look toward the future, and that is the Green Bay Packers running back situation between A.J. Dillon and Aaron Jones. So Aaron Jones comes back from an injury this week, and I think that whatever context we talk about, that has to be mentioned. But that being said, A.J. Dillon was awesome, and I know the stats don't fully back that up in that he wasn't that efficient, 3.5 yards per carry. He had 20, but I think when you watch him actually run, he's just mauling people and, like, driving people on his back. And the value he provides to this team when it can be third and two and there's nothing there, he's somehow able to grind. He just has this ability to grind for yards and just end up somehow on the other side of the yellow line in a way that, like, is something that Aaron Jones can't provide. Yeah, Aaron Jones can beat you over the top in the way that Dillon can't, but Dillon has this unique skill set. And at this point, you have to wonder, with Dillon out snapping Jones this week, a platoon setup, could Dillon take the lead? How do we evaluate this?
Yeah, A.J. Dillon, you could say Aaron Jones was back, but he was mostly absent in this game.
Yeah.
He only had, he had 10 carries, but only 23 yards and 49% of the snaps. But A.J. Dillon, you know, you can call him Quadzilla, the quad father, you know, take your pick of all the nicknames based on just how massive this guy is. He is like, you know, he's like Derrick Henry in the sense that if he gets to the open field, you can't tackle him. You just hope he, like, trips over you. Like that's just the way that his game is. His like we said, his box score is not going to blow anyone away, but he was the foundation of the offense. He was consistently extending drives, you know, getting those 2-3 yard carries to get that first down and keeping, you know, the Rams defense on their toes, especially considering A.J. Dillon is such a tough guy to tackle. And then, you know, the rest of the star power on this Packers offense, you know, goes without saying. They are going to their bye this week, so Aaron Jones is probably going to be fully back in the game against Chicago. But I think A.J. Dillon has put himself into a role where he is going to be, at the very least, a, you know, flex play. I think he's, you know, he only played 51% of the snaps and put up 25 touches. And, you know, something that is worth mentioning is that over the past 4 weeks, A.J. Dillon has 17 targets and 17 receptions. He catches everything thrown his way. He has built that trust with Aaron Rodgers in the passing game. So that is, you know, be in the screen game or even on the goal line where he caught his touchdown in week 12. So I think A.J. Dillon is supplanted himself, or not. That doesn't make any sense. He has put himself on the radar in fantasy and also has gained the trust of this entire Packers offense.
Well, I think what's interesting is, so if weeks 4-12, so if we kind of go back to the last 8 weeks of play, and when you actually look at how many snaps and routes they've been on the field for, Aaron Jones has ran 189 routes, A.J. Dillon just 104. So Aaron Jones has been relied upon over these last 8 weeks so much more in the passing game than Dillon was. Dillon's outsnapped Jones as a rusher over that time period by a slim margin. But I think what's interesting about that is they've traditionally relied on Jones, and you would think based on the traditional skill set that Jones, for third and longs, those types of situations, you want someone like Jones out there on the field. But I think that both of them ultimately, because Dillon's going to have value around the goal line and he's going to get the majority of rushing snaps, but if Aaron Jones, once he's back and healthy, and I think we'll find that out in a week and a half when they play their next game, assuming he's back to his usual workload, I think they both kind of slot in, kind of like the Broncos situation, where they're kind of like both low-end RB2 kind of things, where, of course, when, you know, the Aaron Jones that you drafted in the first or second round is when you combine both of these because he was getting the entire workload. Now that Dillon's there, you have to kind of take that away and recognize that it's going to be lower for ceiling for both of them, just because it's better for the Packers in real life, but for fantasy, it kind of diminishes both of their values.
Yeah, you know, it will be interesting to see once Jones is fully back if he takes over. I don't think he's going to. I really don't. I think A.J. Dillon has shown, you know, the way he can just – I mentioned Derrick Henry, but Derrick Henry has the same kind of thing where he can take over drives and he can just become the one focal point in an entire 8 minutes where, you know, the defense knows what's coming and they just can't stop him. And that's what A.J. Dillon kind of emulates, that style that Derrick Henry has. So I think, you know, the Packers, it'll be interesting to see how they shake up the RB touches in week 14. But I think in week 14, like, you can probably start both of them. And, you know, if you started both of them this week, I wouldn't have started Aaron Jones, honestly, coming off the injury this week. And, you know, he only had 2.3 fantasy points. But I think in week 14, you can start both of them with reasonable confidence. that they'll both, you know, I think Dylan is probably going to be the better guy going forward. I really do.
I think so as well. And again, it's kind of one of those things you have to just get your sort of wrap your brain around, because we're so accustomed to seeing Jones at the top that it's hard to kind of wrap your head around that bias. But I think it's interesting. So I want to shift now to another position group that's in a bit of flux, and that is the 49ers. So Debo Samuel looks like he's going to miss this game after another good performance. He had 20 points again. Debo Samuel now wide receiver 2 on the season behind, of course, the immortal Cooper Kupp. And now that Debo's out this week, Brandon Ayuk steps into a bigger role, and he's been much better of late. He puts up he had only 3 receptions this week, but 91 yards. Ayuk steps into a bigger role this week. Other people on this, Juwan Jennings had a touchdown this game, but who else even is really in this receiver room or in this offense really for the Niners?
I mean, I think the main winner here is got to be Eli Mitchell.
Yeah.
Debo Samuel comes in, and then you could say he vultured touchdowns. I don't know if you can say he vultured them, because like they've been giving Debo these carries the entire season. Just he had what, 66 rushing yards and 2 touchdowns on the ground,
yeah,
and only 1 catch. So I think Eli Mitchell, even though he came in and had a monster game, I think, you know, they're probably going to mix in maybe Trey Sermon or Jeff Wilson in some of those packages. But I think Eli Mitchell he might be an RB, top 12 RB going forward with Debo out. I think the offense is probably going to be a little bit more run heavy, which, I mean, they have been incredibly run heavy the entire season. That's a Kyle Shanahan offense. But I think Ayuk is a big winner. I think Eli Mitchell is a big winner.
Also, George Kittle, 1 target this week.
Yeah, that is unfortunate for, you know, everyone. I think Kittle's probably going to – he's probably going to be fine. He had a touchdown in 3 straight games coming into this one, coming off of a multi-week injury where he was out for a month. I think Kittle going against Seattle and then Cincy and Atlanta, he's going to slot in as a top 7 tight end.
I think so. You still start him. That's a big disappointment this week, but I think you have to stick with him. You absolutely stick with him, even though it's been, obviously, the production hasn't quite been what we've seen. I think we have another mailbag question, right?
Let me see. I believe we do. We'll pull it up here. You know, here's a very interesting one. We talked about Myles Gaskin, but it sucks that David Montgomery is in this conversation right now. But David Montgomery versus Myles Gaskin coming up this week.
Ooh, this is a good question here. I think so. Montgomery had an interesting week. So he had 10 points, and the Bears offense, this was not a fun game, but probably more people watch than we'd want to admit. But Montgomery's getting a workload. He's back because he had 17 carries for 46 yards. That's a 2.7 average. He was not good in this game. Really, no one from the Lions was. It's a pretty mediocre game from him, and I don't know at this point, but this offense has been this bad, where he's had 10 or fewer in each of his last 3 games. So pretty much since the injury, he's had 10 or less in all the games. I think you start Gaskin. I mean, again, is the floor for Gaskin as low? We talked about that, especially with the Dolphins. We don't know what's going to happen. There's been weeks Gaskin's had 2 carries, whatever. But I think Montgomery, the ceiling is low at this point for Montgomery, unless you're just chasing a touchdown with him.
Yeah, one interesting stat for David Montgomery is that he runs a lot of routes. He's on the field all the time. He is their workhorse back. 10% is his target per route run rate at the RB position. 10. And that's down from 41% last year. And if you watch this game, you saw Andy Dalton in broken plays. Dave Montgomery is open in the flat. He has maybe 6 or 7 yards between him and anyone else. And Dalton's like, hey, I'm going to tuck and run here. I'm going to get my 2 yards and then risk fumbling the ball instead of getting it to my playmaker. You just see this. It doesn't make any sense to me. David Montgomery is clearly a better runner than Andy Dalton is. And I don't understand what he's doing. Like, David Montgomery, I don't know. Like it hurts me physically to say Gaskin over Montgomery, but I think that's where I am with him right now. I think Gaskin. I think that the Bears' offense is just going in a completely opposite direction than the Dolphins' offense is going.
Right, and again, it's both of these players have been extremely inefficient in real life. Neither of them have been good players at all. But that being said, in fantasy, you're riding the better offense because of the touchdown dependent nature of both of these players. Because they're getting a solid amount of carries, but they're not. Neither of them's getting enough receiving work. Where you mentioned, right? Neither of them's getting enough receiving work where that's going to be a huge deal breaker. You need a touchdown, and I think that right now Gaskin looks like the better play. Both of them are probably flex plays, but I think Gaskin probably is who I would take.
Yeah, you do like, I'll throw a couple more stats about David Montgomery.
Throw
and
him out.
Snap rate leaders, he was, you know, behind only Saquon Barkley in snap rate at 84% of the snaps. Then also route involvement. Like I said, he's at 74%, which is third in the league behind Leonard Fournette, which we talked about him in our scrapped episode yesterday. But Leonard Fournette is, I don't know, like top seven going forward.
Yeah.
But anyway, David Montgomery, 74% route involvement, 10% targets per route run. Like those two things just don't match up at all. And you know, once you want to see some regression going in those that route involvement to go up, but with Dalton as a quarterback, you just don't expect it. So like I said, it hurts me to say, but I think I would have to go Gaskin this week.
I think Gaskin's right. Now, let's talk about Fournette for a minute, because Fournette, just an incredible performance from him today. 44 fantasy points, and it was, I mean, he had 17 carries. This came down to two things. This came down to the 3 rushing touchdowns, receiving touchdown, and the fact that he got 7 receptions. We keep talking about this. The amount of receiving work he's getting is stupid. It doesn't even make sense. It's craziness. I mean, this is kind of 3 stream. He had 6 or more receptions in each of his last 3 games. Incredible. Just that he's getting so much receiving work after his whole career. He's been talked about as a bruising. He had no mobility. He wasn't used as a receiving option throughout his career. And then all of a sudden this year, he's been like, this is like Alvin Kamara all of a sudden. It doesn't even make sense. It's crazy, and it's translating to fantasy production. And when he can put up that many touchdowns, listen, is he going to get 3 rushing touchdowns again this season? Probably not. But the receiving production gives him a high floor, and the ceiling of when this box offense is clicking, he's the finisher, provides really good fantasy value.
Absolutely, yeah, and it does bear mentioning the other backs in this offense. Ronald Jones had 8 carries and a touchdown. Gio Bernard, the receiving back in this game, on this team, you know, quote-unquote receiving back, is now a special teamer. So Leonard Fournette is the receiving back we've seen in the past 3 weeks now with 6-plus catches. So Fournette, you know, if Ronald Jones is a complimentary option, I don't think there's any worry about Fournette losing his job.
Not to Ronald Jones.
Not to Ronald Jones, exactly. So Leonard Fournette, the number 5 running back in PPR after this performance, like I said, top 5 back going forward. I think you can slot him in over, you know, so many guys now that you would not have expected to in the beginning of this year.
Also, while we're on the topic of the Bucs, I'm just loving the Mike Evans and Chris Godwin both had 4 points this week.
Yeah, finally, at least. Usually it's one of them
usually
pops
it's one,
off. But
as we talked about, if you have Mike Evans and Chris Godwin, you're just prepared. You have to prepare yourself for 4-point weeks.
Yeah.
It doesn't – like this offense scores 38 points, and each of them puts together 4 points and literally had absolutely nothing going for them in this game. Is just funny because this offense can be so weird at times. And Gronk was back.
Yeah, Gronk had a fantastic game.
What a game.
He's probably the top receiver on the team. Let me check real quick. Yeah, he had, what, 100
7
yards?
7 receptions for 123
yards, yeah.
On 10 targets. So now he's been back for 2 games after he was out against Week 10 in Washington. He's back. He had 8 targets against New York in Week 11. Now he has 10 targets against Indy. And listen, Brady's looking for him, and he looks good.
Absolutely, yeah, this offense is firing on all cylinders. Brady isn't really having to do much because of Leonard Fournette, at least in this game. So, I mean, Gronk is a tight end. He has a pulse. You're starting him. That's all it really comes down to with Rob Gronkowski. He looked really good in this game.
Yeah, so I want to talk about a couple quarterbacks now as we get to this part of the season, because the quarterbacks are getting interesting. Cam Newton. We talked about McCaffrey at the beginning. But now we have to talk about Cam, because Cam in this game was so bad. So bad. And we came here last week, and he had the big performance the week earlier, 26 points. He had a rushing touchdown, and he had 10 carries, and we were singing the praises of a QB1. And as we sit here today, that looks like Patriots Cam right there, and that's not a compliment.
Yeah, he in the first, I don't know if it was the first drive, maybe in the second drive, but early in the game, he dials up a 64-yard pass to DJ Moore. He ends the drive with a rushing touchdown, capping off. You're like, all right, he's back. This is the guy. And then rest of the game, 5 completions on 26 attempts, 92 yards, including a 64-yard completion. So the rest of this game, he was dreadful. He looked washed, and he's going into his bye. I think you can cut him, honestly. I think,
wow, just throwing flames.
I think he's going into his bye. Like there's no reason to have him on your fantasy team. So I don't know. He looked really, really bad in this game. I think if there's another quarterback, if there's you know, I mean, waivers have already ran, but if there was one of those running waiver wire running backs like Jamal Williams or someone like that on waivers, I think I have no issue with cutting Cam Newton.
I agree. And I think that in general, there's a few players that you definitely worry about, and Cam has to be one of them. I think that this now Cam is going to make our new segment for our most alarming performance of the week. As I now look, guys, we're taking you behind the scenes here. Wasn't there an alarm?
It was buzzer.
Buzzer. All right. Guys, I'm sorry. We're testing out some
new... We got some new recording software going.
We have some new recording software here. There we go. There was our buzzer. Well, I was trying to find the alarm. It didn't really work, but that was theoretically our most alarming performance of the week, Cam Newton. Not a good word there.
Yeah, I think, you know, all that needs to be said is he had a 64-yard completion in the first quarter, then ends with 92 total yards and has 16 incompletions. I don't know what happened. Like, he just broke down. Like, there's no other way to put it. And I think going into the, you know, he has an incredibly tough draw of it coming in after his bye. He's got Atlanta, which is pretty solid, but then Buffalo, Tampa, New Orleans, Tampa. That's just bad. Like, Tampa doesn't have a good passing defense. They can rush the quarterback like nobody's business. And also with McCaffrey out now, I see no reason to have him on your fantasy team.
I think when you look at the quarterback options, though, do you feel comfortable starting Mac Jones? Would you pick him up?
You know, we
quarterback waivers are really dicey right now.
Yeah, I agree. I would not want to have Mac Jones.
What I'm saying. If you're someone that picked up Cam and you didn't have good quarterback play all season, and now you were relying on him, and you drop him, like, who are you getting at this point in the season?
Like, I think Jones, like, is a perfect example of an NFL quarterback that is really, you know, playing exceptionally well, but not exactly viable from a fantasy perspective. He's averaging almost 240 yards and 1.3 touchdowns per game. Not leaves a lot to be desired from a fantasy perspective, but, you know, for his team, he's doing really well. And he had 300 yards and 2 scores in this game against Tennessee. But, you know, you look back on the game log, he's only put up more than 2 touchdowns once in this fantasy season, and in a 4-point per passing touchdown lead, that's really not going to cut it for you. And it's not like he's supplanting that with a lot of rushing work.
Yeah,
anyway.
And 22 is the most points he's had in any game this season. It's just not enough upside, I don't think, to really feel comfortable playing him. Because even in some games where they're really good, when they get in the red zone, they tend to run the ball a lot. And Mac is, as you mentioned, has an amazing rookie season as an actual player. But I think from the fantasy perspective, it's difficult to start something like that. All right, do we have any more mailbag questions here? I know we have a lot of fans that are eager to...
Yeah, we do have a lot of fans coming in. One is kind of on the same vein of what we were talking about, but, you know, this fan has Jimmy Garoppolo on their team, and they want to know, do you roll with Jimmy Garoppolo, or do you head to the waiver wire and pick up a quarterback?
I think that this week you have to go with Jimmy G, not because... I feel good about Jimmy G. They have Debo out. We mentioned that. They're probably going to rely on the run. I'm just saying, who are you picking up right now on the waiver wire? I mean, it depends, I guess, how deep your league is. What are we doing, Andy Dalton? Like, I just don't understand. There's no one there. Matt Ryan, like, that's going to be better. Jimmy G provides some level of floor in that you know he's probably going to be all right. He's not going to throw a complete dud out there. I feel pretty confident against a dreadful Seattle team. That season has gone completely off the rails. Jimmy G will at least be competent.
Yeah, I mean, he's put up 15 points in the past 3 weeks, 15, 15, then 12. That's not good. But that's not good, though. And I would rather have Carson Wentz. I think he put up 21 against Tampa Bay. He's got Houston in week 13.
Is Carson Wentz eligible for?
He is 50% roster.
I don't know what leagues he's. I mean,
I don't know. I'm looking on Sleeper right now. He's available in a league that I'm in. So, but I think Taysom Hill. I would rather start 34% rostered. He put up another full practice. You know, Sean Payton said he'd probably take over. This is a Thursday game against the Cowboys defense that is pretty tough. But Taysom Hill is. He's dynamic in the, I believe it was 4 games that he started last year. He had 23 points, 17, 20, and 18. And in 2 of those games, he had 2 rushing touchdowns. So I think
the upside play. But I think here's the thing with Hill. And I feel like Sean Payton confuses me. Because on the one hand, if Taysom Hill, if Sean Payton really felt confident in Taysom Hill, Why was Trevor Siemian starting for the last month? There's no explanation. But at the same time, he gave Taysom Hill a contract extension, which was tied to incentives based on whether or not he was playing the quarterback position. The whole thing makes no sense.
Yeah,
it's so confusing.
We do not have a lot of information from behind the scenes,
no.
But something that I would be surprised if this isn't the case is that the Saints just didn't want to pay him to play quarterback when they thought Trevor Siemian could win them games without them having to pay Taysom Hill more money. But that has been shown to not be the case. So I think Taysom Hill is going to come in and do what he did last year. And I mean, in all of the games he started, he got more points than Jimmy Garoppolo has gotten in his past three games. I think Jimmy Garoppolo is a boring play, especially with one of his best wide receivers out for the next 2 weeks. I would rather have Taysom Hill. And, you know, you look on waivers, if Carson Wentz is there, I would rather have him. He might not be, obviously.
It's also worth mentioning with Hill, he's still battling, I think, a plantar fascia injury of some sort.
Yeah, he is. But he was a full participant in practice, though. So I that was on Tuesday yesterday. So the update hasn't come in for today. But I would expect him to practice in full today and then be out there tomorrow against Dallas.
So, yeah. So, I mean, if you have, Thursday. First of all, if Jimmy Garoppolo is your starting quarterback this year, something's probably gone wrong for your team.
Yeah, it's
but
probably
to the
a bye
extent
week
that
thing.
You're debating about Jimmy G, I said, you know what, just roll with it for this week because it's not going to be great. But I just feel like Taysom Hill, like, something could go wrong with that because Trevor Siemian could be. There's so many variables in the first week of starting Taysom Hill because, like, Siemian could be subbed in midway through. Like, there's so many things that can happen with him. I don't trust it, if that makes sense. Even
though
the upside of when Hill is at his best, if he's a full-time starter, there's a ton of upside, of course.
Yeah.
It's just so much unknown.
Yeah, this is a bye week replacement. I think Jimmy Garoppolo would be a bye replacement. It is for our fan who submitted the question, who has Aaron Rodgers. But, you know, if you have Ryan Tannehill, you're not starting Baker, or if you had Cam and you're like, oh, hey, Cam sucks now and Cam is on his bye. So we're going to see next week who's right about this one. I mean, we'll see tomorrow if Taysom Hill comes in and blows the roof off the Cowboys, I think.
Right. Well, whoever is wrong will get booed next week.
Yeah, they'll get booed by our live audience.
Yeah.
But we'll see how that goes. Let me run you through one more fan question here. Let's pull it up. It is an interesting one. Your guy, Rashad Bateman, or Kenny Golladay coming into this week?
Well, first of all, I'd like to say, I mean, Rashad Bateman, if you're considering starting him, I mean, that might not have gone great for you. I mean, listen, I'm a Bateman guy. Everyone knows that. Bateman, not a great performance here. Two straight weeks of single digits, I have to say. I don't know if I was wrong about him. Maybe I was. But I wasn't right. I'll say that at this point in the season. I wouldn't feel comfortable starting him. Even as a Bateman guy, I don't feel comfortable starting Bateman at this point of the season. I know Pittsburgh, you know, it hasn't looked great for them, but their defense is still solid on the back end. And ultimately, I don't think that you could start Bateman. It's just not feasible. Hollywood Brown's been awesome. Bateman's just not seeing the work that's really necessary to get him a productive fantasy player.
Yeah, we kind of thought that Bateman would be opposite of Marquise Brown, and he's playing opposite of Marquise Brown. But you look at the wide receiver playing time in week 12, Brown had a 78% snap rate compared to Bateman's 46%. Then also Bateman ran 10 less routes than Marquise Brown did. We would think
Mark Andrews got 10 targets.
Yeah, Andrews ran 31 routes with Brown's 32 routes. So I think Bateman is a tough sell this weekend. Kenny Golladay, you know, Jason Garrett got fired on this Giants offense. And, you know, I don't remember who the coach for the Giants off the top of my head. I'm sure you know who it is.
Oh, well, the head coach. Head coach.
Do you not know? Aren't you a Giants fan?
No, I'm not a Giants fan.
You're not? I thought you were a Giants fan.
No, I'm not a Giants fan.
Who's your football team then?
I don't have a football team.
Oh, what? Okay.
This is really professional work. Joe Judge.
Joe Judge, yes, that's who it is.
The Giants. And supposedly Freddie Kitchens.
Would slide in as OC.
Yeah,
so... You know, you look at week 12, the players who accounted for the largest share of their team's air yards, Kenny Golladay had 56% of his team's air yards. Obviously, there wasn't a lot of air yards, but when there were passes thrown, you know, farther down the field, Kenny Golladay is the guy. So I would rather start Golladay this week. It's a tough sell between either of these guys, but I think Golladay is probably going to put up a better performance.
Not great options. I don't really think you can start Golladay really reasonably at this point after how bad he's... I mean, he had 7 targets this week, and he was able to get 3 receptions. But in the 3 games before that he played, which was kind of dragged through with injuries, he had 3 or less targets in the last 3 games he had played in before them. I'm just not really feeling comfortable starting Golladay. I don't think under any circumstance given what the production has been this season. It's been a horrendous season from Galladay. I think if you're looking for someone on the Giants to pick up, I look at Kadarius Toney as a potential option in this week, just because Toney's been kind of all over the map. He had the horrible week against Vegas when everyone was kind of riding him. Well, first of all, he had those that couple week stretch where he was like the big deal, where he had that 129-point performance. But he had 7 receptions for 40 yards against Tampa Bay, and that's really encouraging. 12 targets.
One thing to note, Daniel Jones apparently has a serious neck injury. He might not play. It might be the Mike Glennon show against Miami. So if that, you know,
Mike Glennon show, then
that is not a show you want to watch. That is for sure. If Jones is out, you know, you're not starting Kenny Galladay.
So
I think you're looking
on
the waiver
wire. The answer to the question is Rashad Bateman, but the answer, the real answer to the question is Dawn.
Please
find someone else. There's someone on waivers that is better than either of them. I mean, I know we're not really talking about like a big, we're not doing a huge waivers segment this week, but there should be someone else on waivers that you're
able maybe
to
like have. A Jawan Jennings, like from the Niners. Like that's kind
even
of a, it's kind of a rough one. Like I said again, but you know, maybe if Josh Reynolds is probably available, Reynolds and Goff, they showed up a little bit of connection with, I believe it was a 29 or 30 yard touchdown pass. And the Vikings defense, you know, against the Lions is not good. So I think Josh Reynolds might be a good play. You know, that's just a tough wide receiver situation you're finding yourself in. I mean, it is.
Also, Russell Gage is only owned at 21% of leagues.
Gage should have a good game, yeah.
Gage has been very consistent, you know, 6 receptions, 62 yards. He got in the end zone. And I think that Gage is the guy. We kind of talked about how this entire Falcons offense, there's really no one there. But overall, as an entire offense, Gage's the only wide receiver that they can really use at this point. And in the traditional sense, I know Patterson kind of a receiver. So ultimately, Gage can be a solid consistency option. Of course, he had the 0 a couple weeks earlier. But by and large, I would go with Gage over any of these people. Don't start Rashad Bateman. Like, have him on your roster. I'm not dropping Rashad Bateman. He is still on my roster, just so we're making things clear.
Yeah, you got to make that
one
clear.
He's still on my roster. I did not give up on him. But do not start him. Please don't. Because it's been ugly for him over the last few weeks.
Another update, just a news and notes update. Amari Cooper is expected to play Thursday, which is tomorrow. He and CeeDee Lamb should be back. So the Cowboys often should have his full complement of receivers, at least the full top complement of CeeDee Lamb. I'm putting ahead of Cooper because I have him on my fantasy team. CeeDee Lamb, Mark Cooper, and Mike Gallup should all be there. So that should be a good game.
Still threw for 375 yards, by the way, despite not having.
Yeah, you know, I will say the two fan questions I got that we got last week it was Dak against Stafford. I did pick Stafford, and that was an incorrect one. So I'm sorry, everyone. But there was only a 2 or 3 point difference. But I picked Dalton Schultz over Dallas Goedert, and Dallas Goedert got only like 2 points, and Dalton Schultz got like 14 points. So if you started Goedert over Schultz, I'm sorry, but you should have listened to me. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure I advocated for Goedert, so I'm sorry, guys. But you know what? This week, we're going to do better. We're going to – the crowd might have to boo, unfortunately.
Yeah, no, the crowd was booing.
That's all right. So I think we provided a pretty good update there. A synopsis around the Fantasy Football League as we approach now week 13 and we're close to fantasy playoff season. We have a new mic this week, a day late, some sound effects. But Colin, we made it through. Thank you very much.
Yeah, no, it was a good week. Like I said, we battled some production issues, but we'll get back to you guys soon. Maybe in a couple days, you know, who knows?
Yeah.
But you know, it was a great podcast. You know, we got the new setup going. We got the new recording software going. So it'll be a good fantasy playoff stretch for us, and hopefully for all your fantasy teams as well.
Yes, and thank you guys very much for listening. I'm Matty Wasserman signing off, and we will see you next time on the Fantasy Finessers podcast.
Okay. Hey, what's popping?
All right.
So should I just start and stop?
Yeah, and then see if we can finish it.